niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up.
That's as always on the Weekend Wrestling. Mr. All in One from the 361. Allen Zander, ladies
three,
and gentlemen.
3-1, Allen Zander.
I was mixed
like,
up.
Just like how LA Knight said to Carmelo Hayes, get your names right. Get your area codes right.
Hey. You got it, bro. You the wrestler, bro. You the professional. I'm just, you know, I just do promos. But it's been quite an exciting week in wrestling. But as always, we appreciate you guys tuning in, sticking with us. Man, so we're gonna dive right straight into it, man. This past weekend we had the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. You know, one thing about AEW, even though I don't watch consistently, even though like the fans not showing up, they put on hell of a matches, bro. I don't think I said that right, but they put on hell of matches. And you know, shout out to that boy Pac for winning the Owen Hart tournament. We got a new TNT champion, Jack Perry. You know, Mercedes Moné is now a double champion, TBS champion, and Women's Strong champion, if I'm not mistaken. And how about that main event, bro? Like, two of the best putting on one of the best matches of the year. Swerve Strickland, Will Ospreay. Swerve retains, man. You know, Don Callis' family tried to get involved. Will Ospreay just didn't want to take the help, man. And that's when things really turned around in just a high-octane, fast-paced match. And Swerve ended up retaining that AEW World Championship. What were your thoughts on AEW Forbidden Door overall?
I think it was a pretty good show. Honestly, like, I don't know if you've seen, I guess some type of report had came out or whatever about Will Ospreay saying pretty much like he wanted to, you know, like he wanted people to take Swerve Strickland a little bit more seriously, which is why he didn't, you know, win that match. You know what I mean? Because like, and that's another thing too, like they, like I'm pretty sure a lot of people was looking at Swerve as like a transitional champion, like a transition champion. You know what I mean? So for him beat Will Ospreay, that just shot his stock up like high, you know what I mean?
Definitely. And I another thing Will Ospreay said in that interview, he was like, not just Swerve but AEW as a whole, he said it pisses him off, you know, seeing that, you know, they're not bringing in, you know, a full house of fans every night, and it makes him, you know, want to be better. It makes him, you know, want the company to be better. So that's something that he takes seriously. And to have a guy come out and say that, like, I don't know if this is the first time, but for me, this is like the first time that I remember, you know, a guy from AEW really coming out and saying like they want to put on the best, like really just have that drive and motivation. So I think having a guy like that in the locker room is going to be big for them. AEW, not only did they have that pay-per-view this weekend, they've been full of rumors. It's expected that Ricochet is heading to AEW. It's been reports that the talent in AEW is trying to coax Natalya to come over and jump ship. And then we also got a weird report about Shane McMahon meeting with Mercedes Moné, you know, in the airport for a little bit. You know, Tony Khan did come out and say that, you know, nothing is going on there, although he would welcome it. And we heard JR speak about it, but, you know, AEW is trying to cook something up behind the scenes, it seems like. We had Dijak, he's leaving the company. I can see him, you know, being a fit for AEW. So AEW is trying to, you know, get back to, you know, being real competition in the land of, you know, sports entertainment / wrestling.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I hate to cut you off, but I do feel like that these moves that they're doing, it is trying to, like, I guess they're trying to usher in, like, a whole new era right now. Like, they're trying to find, like, they're pretty much trying to find themselves in a way, you know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, right now it's a pretty down time for AEW right now. But, hey, even World Wrestling Entertainment in 2019, they had that down time. You know, 2019, 2018, that was very low. I mean, look at the picture. It was a picture going on around like, social media about how Stomping Grounds looked. That was bad. Like, that's how pretty much how AEW shows look right now.
Yeah.
You always understand. It's always going to be, I'm pretty sure AEW is going to bounce back. It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of time, but I'm pretty sure they're going to bounce back. They're not just going to fall off, you know what I mean? Like world championship wrestling, stuff like that. Like, they don't think they're going to do nothing like that. Like, they're going to stick. They got too much stuff. Like, they got too much of a machine behind them to fall off like that. You know what I mean?
Right. The only thing I would say in that is, like, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting it to change. So I see some of the changes that AEW are trying to make, you know, getting some of the AEW guys, you know, putting them in the spotlight, you know, and sticking with, you know, people that, you know, have star potential and star talent.
Started with the company.
So, like, as long as they keep putting those guys in the right position, I can see AEW taking off. Now, you know, SmackDown. Wanted to get into that because it was quite the SmackDown. Anytime WWE has a show in MSG, it's going to be special. And that SmackDown was definitely special. It started off with a brawl. We saw, you know, the Bloodline make their way to the ring before this. Paul Heyman is, you know, going through it, should I say. Go back and look at this man's dedication. We're going to get into a little bit of that later, but Paul Heyman was wondering where was Jacob Fatu. And Solo said, because he took Paul's advice, Jacob is not there for the evening. As the Bloodline made their way out to the ring, they were attacked by Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Cody Rhodes. And this led to a, you know, your traditional brawl being broken up by security. And then had some crazy moments in there. And then eventually Cody and Co. was escorted out of the company. And I will say, while Cody was talking in the middle of that ring, he got a certain look from Randy Orton. You know, they planting them seeds. If you watching along with, you know, me and Xander, and you going along this journey, you gotta be paying close attention because they planting those seeds. After this, we got a triple threat qualification match, and Tiffany Stratton qualified for the Money in the Bank ladder match, defeating Jade Cargill and Candice LeRae due to interference by Indy Hartwell, who took Jade out during the match. After this, you know, Paul Heyman still worried. Solo is just reassuring him, saying that, you know, tonight he's going to make Paul Heyman his official wise man and, you know, trying to put Paul Heyman at ease. After this, you know, we got some sort of, if it wasn't for the main event segment, this would have been the highlight of the night. We had LA Knight versus Logan Paul versus Santos Escobar. And this match started off with Logan Paul bringing out his friend, Indiana Pacers' own Tyrese Halliburton. And to give a little bit of context, you know, Tyrese Halliburton plays for Indiana. They bounced New York out in the second round of the playoffs this year, so he's not a popular man in New York right now, which is where this event took place. It was a good triple threat match. Halliburton tried to get involved. Logan Paul wanted him to knock out LA Knight with the brass knucks, but who jumped over that rail? Who was in attendance? New York Knicks starting guard Jalen Brunson. And we got a showdown, you know, to remember. Jalen Brunson stops Halliburton from interfering. LA Knight picks up the victory and qualifies for the Men Money in the Bank ladder match. And then the two sides had a stare down. It was Logan Paul and Tyrese Halliburton versus Jalen Brunson and LA Knight having a stare down. Is this something that you expected to see in WWE in 2024?
Look, the route that they're going, anything can happen in WWE, like, at this point. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we get LA Knight and Jalen Brunson versus Logan Paul and Tyrese Halliburton at SummerSlam. Like, it's just,
that'd be crazy.
You just never know. Or they might play like a special enforcer role or a special guest referee role or even just simply just managing, you know what I mean? Just in that match. But I could definitely see them playing a role, you know, down the line. But like, shoot, it's like what we were saying, planting them seeds. You never know. That might be a seed that they just planted right there.
Just save it for WrestleMania. Who knows?
that rivalry all the way up to WrestleMania? Think it can last that long?
Well, either that or, you know, WWE just signed a contract with, like, the Indiana Entertainment Company. They're going to have all three major shows coming to Indiana.
Right.
So, this is WWE, like, ever since they signed with TKO, the marketing has been genius.
Yeah.
It's been genius. Huh?
I was saying, the marketing crew, they need a raise.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. But after this, we had another Money in the Bank qualification match. Naomi defeated Indy Hartwell and Blair Davenport. Due to Jade Cargill getting her revenge against Indy, Naomi was able to qualify for the women's Money in the Bank ladder match. So she's in there. You know, who knows? The way things are going, maybe she's going to be Money in the Glow or something like that. I don't know. Then it was announced DIY is getting their title shot this upcoming Friday on SmackDown against the tag champs Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Austin Theory then confronted DIY, says, you know, he doesn't like how they're trying to stir the pot. And then Grayson Waller attacked DIY from behind, and those two kind of got into it. And yeah, that was pretty much SmackDown. And then it was time for the Bloodline acknowledgement ceremony. Ladies and gentlemen, this acknowledgement ceremony has over 60 million views across all social media platforms for WWE. So if you haven't watched it, I suggest you go back and watch it. It was definitely something. But to get into it, you know, Solo came out with the Bloodline, the Tongans, and Paul Heyman. And who makes their way out to the ring? Jacob Fatu, the same man that Solo told Paul Heyman was not going to be there. He was there. And Solo continuing his journey to being acknowledged as the new head of the table, the new tribal chief. He asked the MFT, Tama Tonga, to acknowledge him, in which he did. He asked the infamous Tongaloa to acknowledge him, in which he did. He asked his enforcer, Jacob Fatu, to acknowledge him, in which he did. Then it was Paul Heyman's turn. He brung out the lei. You know, he gave it to Paul Heyman. He said, put it around his neck and acknowledge him. And Paul Heyman paused, tears in his eyes, said that he acknowledges that Solo is not his tribal chief. And what a mistake that was. You know, not soon after, he's hit with the Samoan Spike. He's beat up by the entire Bloodline. Jacob Fatu doing Jacob Fatu things, going berserk. Gave him a splash in the middle of the ring. They clear off the announce table, give him the triple power bomb. Man, this was... it's so crazy because a lot of people, you know, in the IWC have been saying, like, oh, the Bloodline storyline getting stale. Solo's not that convincing as a leader. Well, all that is, you know, put to rest now. Solo came out. He was booed out the arena. The MSG crowd chanting FU Solo, like, you know, he's got that heat. And I think people are hating on him because he's getting heat. Like, I don't think it's actual hate or actual disbelief in Solo's ability. I think it's just natural heat. Like, we can't stand this guy. But what are your thoughts on this segment, man?
See, at first, Solo Sikoa wasn't really, like, the believable leader. You know what I mean? When it was first starting out, when he attacked Jimmy Uso and kicked them out the Bloodline and stuff like that, and like how the story was like progressing. But now, like you said, they fixed all that in one night. Like the whole overshadowing thing. Now do I necessarily think that Jacob is still not gonna overshadow Solo? I mean, to some extent, I mean, yeah, but I mean, you gotta also understand now with that segment, they're kind of neck and neck now, in my opinion. I just say like that was just crazy. Like it really did bring out that whole like with everybody saying Solo isn't the leader, nothing like that. I think that kind of got, you know, put to rest in that whole like that just one segment. But shout out to Paul Heyman though, man. That dude literally carried this whole storyline from up to WrestleMania to now, mm-hmm. carried that whole thing, you got to admit. And the fact that I heard that he didn't sleep.
He didn't sleep or he didn't shave.
Just to make that ish more believable. Like, that right there, man, that right there screams dedication. The fact that he knocked off possibly a couple of years off his life from doing that. Just to do that, man, I'm telling you, that's dedication right there. That's dedication.
Yeah, I think Paul's like, what, 58?
Yes. And now, what everybody's saying, what Solo's saying, Roman's not coming back, and him doing this, yeah, you're starting to pee off Roman Reigns now, for real. So yeah. He gonna come back with a vengeance, boy. It's not gonna be pretty, bro.
Nah,
the Jacob Fatu versus Roman Reigns match, because this is something that's been talked about by Jacob Fatu in interviews and stuff like that. He's been looking forward to getting to the ring with him and stuff like that. But I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this whole situation.
It's gonna be so crazy.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead. I was just saying it's gonna be so crazy.
Yeah, because now the story for Roman Reigns has shifted. First, he wanted to come back to his championship. But now, I don't think he wants his championship. I think now he wants to fight for his tribal chief status to let everybody know, okay, like, pun intended, I'm the big dog. You know what I mean? Around here, I'm the head of the table. You know, so I think that the way this story's going, it's going to feed families, bro.
Yeah, definitely. If their family is already fed, man, as we can see, it's just so many, like, the thing I'm starting to like about this story, I don't know how it's going to play out. You know, they reportedly signed Hikuleo, right? Whose side is he going to be on? Is he going to be with his brothers, or is he going to go with Roman and the Usos, you know, when it's time? Where does The Rock factor in all of this? You know, is Jacob potentially going to switch sides and not want to be, you know, in Solo's shadow anymore? Like, it's just so many different ways. I'm excited for, like, the Usos versus, you know, the Tongans. Like, that's going to be, you know, a good one. Like,
yeah, that was a match that's been talked about for years. They talked about that match for years when they was in New Japan. You know what I mean? So that's going to cook. Excuse me.
But shout out to Paul Heyman, man. Doing work. Like,
bro, when I tell you, you might have to blur this out. I'm sorry I got to say it, but he looked like shit. Like, I'm just like, man. When I tell you, he looked stressed as all, man. I'm just like, dog, are you okay, Paul Heyman?
Yeah, he was like, that's him not sleeping for that, man. Like, that's crazy, man.
Not sleeping, not shaving, not dyeing his hair, nothing. He just went. Just so you know.
That was crazy. But we're going to move on to Monday Night Raw, which started off with a former member of the Bloodline, Jey Uso, you know, talking about his Money in the Bank intentions. He was interrupted by Chad Gable, who, you know, said that he's going to win the Money in the Bank. And if anybody should be targeted by the Wyatt Six, it should be Jay, because he left his family and didn't even try to make it right, unlike Chad, who's been, you know, week in and week out trying to make it right. After this, you know, we hear the Wyatt Six music. Jey Uso disappears. Chad Gable is spooked. He's trying to find every way out. Every exit is a member of the Wyatt Six. So eventually Chad escapes through the crowd, and out comes, you know, Sister Abigail giving Michael Cole another box with a VHS tape in it. And we'll get to what that VHS tape had on it in a second. After this, Xavier Woods defeated Karrion Kross. Then the New Day was beat up by the Final Testament, and it looks like, you know, Karrion Kross injured Kofi's arm. Damian Priest met up with Dominic Mysterio in the hallway, asking him if he talked to Rhea. Dom said yes. And then Damian Priest said, oh, really? Because I just talked to Rhea and she's upset. As a side note, shout out to Rhea and Buddy Matthews, by the way, tying that knot. You know, best of luck to them. And, you know,
a lot of people were swinging in the air. I'm pretty sure, you know. That's tough, but hey, it is what it is. It's tough.
Yeah. Hey, but if anybody still gonna win either way, that boy Dom.
Yeah, that don't matter to Dom, you know what I'm saying? He don't care about all that. Harry, who? Should I?
They call him. Right. They don't call him Dirty Dom for no reason.
Bro, I'm telling you.
Dirty D, as Selena said. But, yeah, and then after this, Priest and Dom walk into the Judgment Day clubhouse. Liv Morgan is hanging out with the rest of the crew. And Priest is confused. Then he's checked by Finn Balor, who told Priest that Liv Morgan isn't the problem, but Damian Priest is the problem for everything he's doing, for everything he said last week, saying he doesn't need the Judgment Day and they need him. You know, Finn Balor has an issue with Damian Priest, so they definitely planting those seeds. After this, we got the Women's World Championship match between Liv Morgan and Zelina Vega. This match, you know, was back and forth, just the two ladies at first, but then Dominic Mysterio decided to make his way down to the ring and help Zelina, in which he didn't. Then his father came down to the ring, Rey Mysterio, and those two got into it, causing all types of distractions. Dom tried to slide a chair in the ring to Zelina. She throws the chair at Dom's face. Liv capitalizes, hit her with the Oblivion. She retains her world championship. And because Dom helped her retain again, she is now even more head over heels for Dominic Mysterio.
Now, see, I'm going to just say this. Two things. One, it just surprised me how casually Dominic and Rey Mysterio are just getting into stuff now. Because that was at first, it was just like, well, I'm not going to fight you in third. Now Rey Mysterio is like, all right, I don't even care no more, bro.
For real, I'm going to beat your ass every time I get.
Two, this goes into what I was saying about championship, important championship matches on just random episodes. Like, that match, honestly, you could have put that in the Money in the Bank. You really could have put that in the Money in the Bank. You know, that's just me personally. I don't know how everybody else feels about it. I mean, it was a good match overall, but that match, you could have had that same match that they put on at the Money in the Bank. That's just me. And it would have been good. It probably would have gotten a good, three stars, 3.5 star rating on it. Like, I mean, I don't know, man. That's just me personally.
One thing I noticed in the Paul Levesque era, when by Stephanie. Shout out Stephanie. She was in attendance at both shows, SmackDown and Raw. You know, they spotted her in the crowd. But, like, Triple H, it seems that he's going with quality over quantity. And, mm-hmm. and being that, like, all the PLEs, there's only really, like, at most, maybe 5 matches. So, he's trying to, you know, take that approach where every match gets its, you know, proper time. And I just feel like that's why you're starting to see more title matches on the Raws and SmackDown. Also, I feel like it makes the titles, like, I'm basically saying I disagree with you for the simple fact, like, I feel like it makes the title seem more important because you get to see it more often. Like, back then, like, you really didn't see a title or, you know what I'm saying? Like, during that whole Roman Reigns period, like, the champion not showing up or it's not being defended. Right. I think they're trying to steer away from that because they did it so long. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You know what? You make a valid point with that because now that I think about it, during, like, the Attitude Era, You had random tag team matches, Intercontinental Championship, European Championship matches on SmackDown and Raw. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? Nowhere there'd be new champions and stuff too around that time, like on random episodes of SmackDown and Raw. I mean, to an extent, you are right with that, but I guess I'm just too used to, you know, the Vince McMahon era, man. I guess it's got my mind all brainwashed or something. Who knows? I don't know, man. Brainwashed from the Vince McMahon era.
Not to get too off topic, though, but they released on the WWE Vault YouTube channel, like, highlights of the Shield's run. Bro, I'm not going to lie. That whole era of the Shield, like, like, even though it was PG TV, like, that was underrated. Like, when Ryback was on the scene, people don't like Ryback now, but he, like, that whole Feed Me More, it was over. The Shield, like, just the fact that all of those guys are main eventers now, and then it's just so crazy. Like, that feud they had with the Wyatt family, like,
the fact that they put that on the vault, like, at this time, kind of makes me wonder. Dean Ambrose, John Moxley's future, and or if they might have some talks with Dean Ambrose, John Moxley for possibly 2K25 showcase mode for WWE 2K. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, like, with Triple H in charge, like, it's more believable now. We seen CM Punk come back, you know, we seen him bury the hatchet with, you know, a lot of people. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know. It's just,
I mean, if CM Punk and Seth Rollins are, like, I mean, they obviously still, you know, they hold a little grudge, but I mean, at the same time, though, like, they can work together, you know what I mean? Right. Like, they have a relationship now where they can work together in a sense, you know what I mean?
So I definitely see that in the future. But speaking of the Shield, Seth Rollins arrived to the arena. And I know this is very, like, you know, minuscule, but if you were paying close attention as they were showing Seth arrive in the arena, Zoe Stark was caught, you know, in the background talking to Sonya Deville and then being pulled away by Shayna Baszler. Another instance of, you know, you got to pay close attention.
Baszler already got stabbed in the back once by Lola Vice. Could happen again.
Like, I don't know what Sonya's up to, but she's been talking to Zoe, she's been talking to Natalya. So, you know, you never know.
But, because I mean, it's just like, you might as well just, like, you've been there for so long, you might as well just, you know, retire there at this point. If they let you, you know what I mean? If they give you an extension, I say take it, you know what I mean? But hey, yeah, some people might want, you know, the money, you know what I mean, at the same time. So, hey, can't fault you for that.
It's like, yeah, we can get into that, but I'm gonna save it for a little bit, because there is some family ties within AEW now too, so
that is true.
But Seth made his way out to the ring to hype up the Money in the Bank championship match he's gonna have with Damian Priest. Then he was interrupted by Finn Balor, who says he was pissed off with Priest, but in all actuality, it's really Seth's fault. You know, he started all this drama, in which Damian Priest came out and said he didn't want Finn in his business. This broke down into Seth and Priest getting into each other's faces, and Finn saw the opportunity to attack Seth, and Priest wasn't with it. You know, he pulled Finn off of Seth. Seth ended up attacking back, super kicked Priest into Balor, curb stomped Balor, and then Priest took out Seth with Priest standing tall. So, again, another example of them planting them seeds, you know, between Priest and Finn. Unfortunately,
that kind of debunked a little theory that I had, too.
Yeah.
About Seth Rollins. Like, the theory that I had with Seth Rollins was he was still recovering up until Money in the Bank, but you see how he got physical this week, so that kind of debunks the theory. I'm pretty sure he's cleared 100% now.
Yeah. I don't know. Seth is a machine. Even when he's hurt, he's going like he's 100%.
Bro, at WrestleMania, man, he wanted that main event so bad. He wrestled
right.
He wanted that main event so bad.
He came through on both nights.
Mm-hmm.
But after this, we got a promo from Ludwig Kaiser, basically saying that he has broken ribs. Now, I don't know if this is in the kayfabe sense or not, but he blamed Sheamus, and he said when he returns, you know, he's on Sheamus's ass.
I'm definitely on that, as far as like legit or kayfabe, I'm kind of 50-50 on it, because the reason why it's 50-50 is because, like, the vignette, you know, the vignette soon, so that kind of But in a sense, you never know. Maybe they told him, you know, to give them something, you know?
Right. So. Yeah, that's how I felt too, though. That's why I was conflicted by it. Mm-hmm. After this, Zoe Stark qualified for the last spot, the final spot in the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. She beat Dakota Kai and Ivy Nile. Dakota Kai was distracted. Huh?
No, I said that surprised me.
You think so? I kind of knew that was going to happen.
Over Dakota Kai?
Yeah. Io already in the match.
Yeah, I know, but she was not the first time that two members of, you know, Damage Control was in the Money in the Bank together.
Well, yeah, but I just feel like, I don't know. I just feel like Zoe Stark, she's one of those people where, like you said last week, like a person that you could really see winning the Money in the Bank briefcase. I think Zoe Stark is more that than Dakota Kai, at least at this point right now in their careers. Personally, yeah. That's my opinion. But yeah, she beat them. Dakota was distracted by the tag team champions who end up attacking Kairi Sane on the ramp. But yeah, Zoe Stark is now in that ladder match. After this, we finally got to see what that VHS tape was all about. And in this VHS tape, we saw Bo Dallas again sitting with Uncle Howdy in the Firefly Funhouse. But this time, we got to find out what Bo Dallas's purpose was. He basically said his purpose, you know, is for those who turn on their family or who aren't in support of the family or take their family for granted. He is the day of reckoning. And he's coming for all those people, those hypocrites, you know, and all those people. So this was very interesting to me because during the promo, it sounded like to me, it kind of like, even though he's targeting Chad Gable, it kind of gave me off the impression that he was kind of talking about Jey Uso a little bit. But I found that interesting. So, and he also feels like him and the fellow Wyatt Six members were forgotten. And, you know, now they'd be forgotten no more. Somebody used to say, oh, the Forgotten Sons. They used to say that. But yeah, that was old Dallas's message. And then we saw Chad Gable with Otis trying to beg and plead him to forgive him. And Otis had no words for him this week around. Oh, what are your thoughts on all this Wyatt Six, you know, development and Chad Gable being their target?
I'm invested in all these little segments and like people saying stuff online about those, like, you know, little hints and like theories and stuff like that. I'm invested, you know, that's just as far as I could put it, but I ain't gonna lie. Like, remember how I was talking about, you know, Money in the Bank, and we're gonna get to that too, about in regards to Jey Uso.
Mm-hmm.
I got that feeling, man. I got that feeling. It's just they not gonna pull the trigger, and that's gonna be the reason why they don't pull the trigger. I just know something in the back of my mind is telling me it just ain't gonna happen, man. Unless, you know what I mean. Look, if it happens, I'll be happy, you know what I mean? But I already know that it's just going to be, I'll be happy and shocked because I'll just be like, okay, they really didn't, you know, I was wrong. And then in this case, I want to be wrong. I don't want to be right in this case because I'll just be like, man, it's bad.
I definitely hear you. After this, we got father versus son. We got Rey Mysterio versus Dominic Mysterio. And this match was very eventful. Like you said, in the past, Rey was very hesitant, you know, to beat Dominic like he should have a long time ago in the Eddie era. But this time, Rey didn't hesitate, and it was mano a mano. Then we saw Liv. Right. Then we saw Liv Morgan come down, make her presence known. And this is where the match kind of took a turn. Dom was hit off the ropes, fell onto Liv Morgan, kind of like she did to him a couple weeks ago. Dom was straddling Liv, and which Liv loved. And then Zelina made her presence involved. Liv and Zelina start going at it. Zelina knocked Liv into the ropes, which Dominic Mysterio was on the top rope, and he fell onto his manly parts and got hit with that 619. And Rey Mysterio picked up the victory again. So Rey Mysterio is now 3-0 against Dom.
2-0 I'm telling you, and I seen this meme, bruh. I seen this meme about like it said Rey Mysterio when it comes to putting over his son, and it was Hulk Hogan.
Hey. That reminds me of another meme. They say Rey Mysterio whooping Dom at Mania. That's gonna be like how LeBron do Bronny if he miss a game winning shot in the NBA Finals.
Nah.
But speaking of Braun, Sami Zayn came out to the ring to address his upcoming title match at Money in the Bank with Braun Breaker. Which, of course, Braun Breaker interrupted. And, you know, the whole theme of Sami's message is he's not going to allow Braun Breaker to run right through him like he's doing to everybody else, which was very, you know, metaphoric, because what did Braun Breaker do? He ran right through Sami Zayn, speared him out of his shoes, you know, and he was gearing up to run around the ring, hit him with the spear again. Sami evaded, Braun hit the stairs, they brawl back and forth, and then Braun catches him slipping again and hits him with another spear, raising that Intercontinental Championship. And I don't know about you, but I'm hyped for the, you know, the potential of a Braun Breaker Intercontinental Championship reign.
I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, if they pulled the trigger. I would not be shocked at that. I wouldn't be mad either, because that dude's been going crazy.
Most definitely.
Whole tire. Like, as soon as he got put onto the main roster, it was a slow little start. But once he went to Raw, it's bad. It was bad, bro. Literally. Yeah. Everybody with them Cora Jade inspired spears going crazy on everybody on that roster, boy.
After this, we saw Damage Control in the back doing an interview. They were approached by Lyra, then attacked by Lyra, Katana Chance, and Kaden Carter. So that's gearing up for a 6-woman tag match next week on Raw. Then we got our main event. Any match with the names Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, and Ilya Dragunov is a banger. Now imagine all three of them going against each other. Man, this was a main event. I can't wait till down the line we get this match plus Gunther. They got to make that a fatal four-way match for the World Heavyweight Championship when Gunther wins. But yeah, Drew qualified for the final spot in the men's Money in the Bank. Ladder match by Penn and Sheamus. And that was Monday Night Raw. With Money in the Bank ahead this weekend in Toronto, we ain't been the best at predictions, but we're going to make them anyway. So I'm going to start with the Money in the Bank men's ladder match. The participants, Jey Uso, Carmelo Hayes, Andrade, Chad Gable, L.A. Knight, and Drew McIntyre. Who is Xander's pick to win this match?
See, I'm going to try to go undefeated this time. I want to go undefeated. So, remember how I was saying I wanted to be wrong, right? I'm kind of sticking on that. So, I'm going to say, you know what? Give me Drew McIntyre. And I'm going to tell you why. All right? I can see CM Punk letting Drew McIntyre win that briefcase just to squander him again when he catches it in. I can see that happening, bro. And that right there, man, would make him even more pissed. Like, that right there would just set him over the rails, bro. Like, that's that right there. Like, bro, you would have to put them in the match at SummerSlam. That is no choice. Like, you know, but disclaimer, I am not a booker. You know what I mean? I am not a booker. This is just what I would like to see. But yes, get me Drew McIntyre. I'll take Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre, that's very interesting. Before I answer this question, I saw a poll and it said, who's more likely to get screwed out of the Money in the Bank briefcase? Jey Uso by the Bloodline, Chad Gable by the Wyatt Six, Drew McIntyre by CM Punk, or LA Knight by Logan Paul. So then that made me think, like, there's only two people in that match who might not get messed with. Carmelo Hayes and Andrade. And so my pick is going to be him, Carmelo Hayes. I just think, yeah, man. Like Booker T say, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
But I'm going to go with Carmelo Hayes. I think this is a guy that I think Triple H is high on. I could see him reaping the benefits of, you know, a Cody Rhodes being injured and, you know, kind of, you know, just being that next guy up. And I don't know. The briefcase fits him. If not Jay, I think Carmelo Hayes for sure.
Okay, so before we go on to the next match, can we do half picks too, or we gotta just pick one person?
You could do half, bro. You could do half.
All right, because look, as far as the records, bro, I could do, you know, we could do a half a point. You know what? That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna give ourselves a pass and do a half a point. So I'm gonna pick two picks, who I would like to win and who I can tolerate winning. So for this one, give me Drew for who I can tolerate, and give me Jay for who I would want to win.
Yeah, who I would want to win is obviously Jay. I don't know. It just seemed like Carmelo Hayes, man. He pinned Randy Orton. He's him. So that's where I'm at with that. But women's Money in the Bank ladder match, huh?
I'm saying, like, that really would be a shocker, though.
That's why I think. See, last year, I was dead set on LA Knight winning. And who won? Damian Priest.
Damian Priest.
Mm-hmm. So I just feel like
nobody get that right.
Exactly. So I ain't making the same mistake twice.
Hey.
But as far as the women's Money in the Bank ladder match, the participants, Io Sky, Chelsea Green, Lyra Valkyria, Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and Zoe Stark. These are a lot of good choices. Like, I can see any of these women winning.
All right. So for this one, we're going to stick with that same thing, who you will want to win and who you will tolerate winning. So, for who I want to win that match, obviously this goes back a couple pods ago, Io Sky, all day, every day. Second year, back-to-back, gets that Women's Money in the Bank briefcase, cashes it in successfully, yet again. And who I could tolerate? Give me Tiffany Stratton. I'll take her, because like you were saying about Carmelo Hayes, how they're trying to get the newer people and kind of elevating them some way. Mm-hmm. Do that with Tiffany Stratton.
Yeah. As far as who I would want to win, Chelsea Green all day. She's like,
you want that diva. That's why.
Nah. I just think that she would be perfect with it. Like, it just suits her character. Same thing, which is why my pick to win is Tiffany Stratton. And like I said on the pod last week, I've been noticing it's like a friendship with Tiffany and Nia Jax. I feel like Tiffany, if she wins that briefcase, she gonna try to finesse Nia Jax, who might win at SummerSlam, or you never know. Tiffany might cash in at SummerSlam, you know, while Nia's destroying Bayley, and, you know, she could be your new champion, and that's why I'm gonna pick Tiffany Stratton. But I would want Chelsea Green to win.
Good picks right there.
All right. So now we got the WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. If Seth Rollins wins. He is the world champion. And Damian Priest has to leave the Judgment Day. If Damian Priest wins, he retains his championship. But Seth Rollins can no longer challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship as long as Damian Priest is champion.
All right, so now we're going back to just one pick now. No going back. For these regular matches?
I hope not.
All right. So honestly, with this person I'm about to say, it's going to come as a surprise because honestly, I could really see him like doing more with this win, more than the other. So give me Damian Priest. Because he beat Seth Rollins. He proves himself yet again that he's actually a force to be reckoned with that World Heavyweight title. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You've already beaten Drew. Beaten Seth, another big name. That's going to do good for you. That's going to do good for your title reign at the end of the day. So, and then, a little side note too. I also see him, if he does win, it ain't going to matter what the Judgment Day, because they probably going to kick him out regardless. You know what I mean? So I see them kicking him out regardless whether he wins or he loses. So it's a lose-lose for him in that department. But hey, I could be wrong. So, but who you got?
See, my mind is made up, but I do want to give a little theory. You know, with everything going on with Finn and Priest, I wouldn't be surprised if Priest screws, if Finn screws Priest. Just so that could be his way out of the Judgment Day. I wouldn't be surprised. But, however, even though, you know, that could be an option, I think Priest retains. I think he's going to get fed to Gunther. I don't think Seth is going to, you know, get the title just to lose it at SummerSlam. So, I'm gonna go with Damian Priest on this one for sure.
Maybe. Another theory. What they can also do, and disclaimer, I'm not a booker. They can also do is, right, I could see Finn Balor inadvertently costing Damian Priest the title. Meaning, he could be trying to help out Damian Priest and ends up causing him it, and then now he has to leave Judgment Day because Seth Rollins won the title.
Yeah, that is.
Everybody's looking all shocked, like, dang, now you got to leave.
That'd be crazy. What? After this, we got the
same on business.
After this, we got the Intercontinental Championship match between champion Sami Zayn and challenger Braun Breaker. I know what I'm thinking, but what are you thinking?
Give me Braun Breaker.
Sure.
I'm not even really gonna explain it. Just give me Braun Breaker. The type of wrath that he's been doing, the path he's been going on, and just all the rampage, all the wreckage he's been doing. Like I said, that Cora Jade inspired spear. Unless Cora Jade hits up his DMs a little bit, then Sami Zayn might have a chance. But
it ain't happening.
He don't stand a chance then. It's over.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. Yeah, Braun Breaker is next up for sure. And then we got the match, you know, that I'm kind of looking forward to. I'm not going to lie. We got Cody Rhodes teaming up with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus the Bloodline. Now, I'm interested to see which three members of the Bloodline is going to be. Because it's tough because I don't know which three members is going to be. So it's hard to really determine what the results is going to be.
I have an idea on who it is.
Who?
Like, I think it might be Solo, Tama Tonga, and Jacob Batu. Because yeah. I don't know if you peeped, but Tonga Loa really hasn't been, like, wrestling like that. I mean, he's been taking serious moves, but I guess they're probably saving him for something or whatever, I guess. I don't know.
He's been in two matches.
Oh, yeah. So I say, yeah, well, I guess, I don't know. I guess maybe they might just be they might want Jacob Fatu to be in, like, I guess his first. They might want him to make his debut at the Money in the Bank.
I kind of think that's how it's going to be. The way the graphic was set up, that's what the team is going to be. But right. you never know. I also have a, you know, theory about this one, but who you picking?
Oof. I'm picking the Bloodline. Kevin Owens takes the pin.
I'm agreeing with you, and I think this is when we're going to get the rift between Cody and Randy, potentially. I also think we're going to get the debut of Hikuleo in this one to cause the distraction. Mm-hmm. And I think Jacob is gonna be the one to pin Kevin Owens.
Yeah, because Kevin Owens, I can see Kevin Owens taking that pin just because, you know, Randy's Randy. At the end of the day, he already took a big pin, mm-hmm. you know, in the past, what, a week ago. And then you got, you know, Cody Rhodes, he's a champion. I don't think he's going to take the pin. It would be shocking if he does take the pin.
It's like, I don't know. I could be wrong about the Cody and Randy thing. It could be Solo versus Cody at SummerSlam, and then that's when we get the return of Roman Reigns or Jimmy Uso or something like that. That's something else too. It could be Cody's team winning with the help of Jimmy Uso.
I mean, only way if Cody, Randy and KO take that win, it will probably have to be Tama Tonga taking that pin.
Yeah. He the only one that could.
Jacob, not a chance. Solo, nah, he's just starting to get that believability. So if you get him pinned now, mm-hmm. it's gonna blow out the window. You gotta start from square one again. Like, so yeah, that's the only way I can see it happening. But this match can go either way, but if I really had to pick one, I would have to just say Bloodline.
Same here.
But I cannot get over these faces that Randy Orton has been giving Cody Rhodes, bro. It's really like, it was someone that did a meme, bro, and it shows all the faces he gave him, dog. It's just like, he's eyeing that championship. He wants that championship.
He wants that record, too.
Yes. What is he, 14-time or 15-time right now?
I think 14.
Yeah, 14.
You know, that I'm looking forward to the PLE this weekend. We also had NXT, you know, just a couple of highlights. There was a good street fight between Jada Parker and Meechan. Jada Parker ended up getting a dub in that one. Lola Vice did, you know, a very emotional promo, you know, saying that she wants to be diverse. Cuban American, NXT, women's champion, and looks to defeat Roxanne Perez at Heatwave. And then also, we had the NXT Championship contract signing, the Fatal 4-Way match between champion Trick Williams, Javon Evans, Sean Spears, and Ethan Page. And like every other contract signing, we had two people going through tables. We had a face-off for the championship. And I'm excited for this PLE as well. I think Toronto going to be on fire this weekend. So NXT Heatwave, we got double predictions. So we're going to start with the NXT Women's North American Championship match. Kalani Jordan in her second title defense, challenger Sol Ruka.
Yikes. One thing that you just can't do, bro, and not even being biased, just because, like, with the whole North American Championship, you just can't, like, in this reign right now that she's in, you really can't bet against Lonnie, bro. It's just, so, I guess I'm going to give it to Kalani Jordan, man. But Sol Ruka, hell of a competitor. I will say that. Hell of a competitor.
Yeah,
I love for her to win too. But hey, only one can win. Only one person can get the 1-2-3 at the end of the day. Give me Kalani Jordan.
I'm going to go with Kalani Jordan too, but I wonder if we're going to get a Sol Ruka heel turn. Which would be crazy, but.
Mm.
Be crazy.
Hey, that would be unexpected right there. That'd be a curveball thrown.
Yeah. That's something that I want to keep my eye on for sure.
Man, that's great. Two. My God, bro.
Hey, not next up, we got the NXT Men's North American Championship. Oba Femi, the champion, goes against Wesley, the challenger. This is Wesley's final. He can never challenge for the championship again as long as Oba Femi is the champion, if Oba Femi retains. Who do you got winning in this match?
Give me Wesley, man. I said that with no hesitation. Give me Wesley. It's his last. I mean, look, it's his last one. If he loses, that's it. No more chances. And he's made it known how important this title is to him. You know what I mean? This is one of his first championships that he had when this whole group, you know, went down. You know, and everybody thought that he was going to get lost in the pack. So this title means a lot to Wesley. So I see Wesley getting that title back from Oba Femi now. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's going to get done. So give me Wesley.
I'm going to go with Wesley as well. But on the flip side, I could see Oba. I'm not picking him, but I could see him winning. And then Wesley getting called up, you know, fulfill that Ricochet role. You know, that's just food for thought right there. But
champion.
Yeah. But one thing I'm curious to see, I know they've been trying to shut it down, but there's been, you know, rumblings about potential, you know, another NXT TNA crossover. Moose Oba Femi. You know, that'll be nice.
I know but look, I called that a while ago. Not the whole Oba Femi thing. Moose in a crossover, I called that.
Yeah.
And I knew it was going to happen. It was a matter of when. And now it's most likely going to happen now.
Yeah.
Now it's getting, you know, the officials of both TNA and NXT. So, yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. But, yeah, I'm going to go with Wesley on that one. Next up, we got the NXT Tag Team Championships. The supersonic duo of Axiom and Nathan Frazier versus Chase Hughes, Andre Chase, and Duke Hudson. Who is your picks for this match?
If you want something that's just like brand new, I can see this. I can see this pick going. This is just one of my picks, just my anything go picks. So I really don't really, you know, I'm not really concerned about the outcome. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just throw it out there. Give me Chase U.
Yeah.
Give me Chase U. You know what? Just, you know, let's just get something different out there. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, and I can see Ridge Holland playing a factor in this whole situation. Maybe cheating for him. He could probably cheat for him. Never know.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you for the same reasons. That's why I was going to pick him because, you know, I don't know, you know, what outside interference is going to happen. So I definitely, I'm gonna take Chase U on this one. The next match, NXT Women's Championship match. Lola Vice, the challenger, going against the champion Roxanne Perez.
Lola Vice, you're good, no? I gotta say, give me Roxanne Perez. I just don't think, you know, right now. I mean, I know she's got a whole bunch of momentum right now, but like Roxanne's on this tear in NXT right now. That's probably not going to stop anytime soon. I'd probably say if they do it right, she could hold this title up until the next Stand and Deliver. So, give me Roxanne.
I don't know about Stand and Deliver, but however, I agree with you. I think Roxanne wins this for now, but I think this match happens again, and it's a different result. But I'm going to go with Roxanne as well. But I definitely think like she's gonna lose that match by the time SummerSlam rolls around, so she can get called up. That's just my opinion.
See, I be forgetting about the call ups and stuff. I be forgetting about that. So yeah, you probably on something with that.
Yeah. The main event, Fatal 4-Way match, champion Trick Williams, challengers Ethan Page, Javon Evans, Sean Spears. I already know who I'm going with. What's your pick in this one? Who you got?
I can realistically see this individual fighting through all the adversity, the whole thing about him not being able to, not having to be involved in the decision to lose. So I say Trick Williams.
Again, I'm gonna agree with you.
Because if Trick beats every other competitor in this match, it just proves, just the same way as Damian Priest's case, gives them that, you know, legitimate champion status.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. I think, you know, Trick, you know, this is, he kind of just started his run in a way. Like, he hasn't been champ that long, and I don't think he's going to be called up anytime soon, personally. So I think, you know, utilize him while you got him, and then somebody else going to come along and take that championship, which I was saving this thought from a match we, you know, predicted earlier. I can see Oba Femi coming down that pipeline, you know, potentially being the next NXT champion. So, you know, I wouldn't, you know, put that out of perspective. But yeah, I'm going to go with Trick Williams. I think this is the first time ever we agreed on all the predictions.
Yeah, that's a shocker right there. I'm wrong, you wrong too.
Yeah, all right. But ladies and gentlemen, that was our show for today. I am your host, Ron the Don, my co-host from the 631, Mr. Alexander. Did you want to say anything to the people before we head on out of here?
I just want to say appreciate everybody for, you know, supporting the link up, supporting Ron the Don, and supporting myself. If y'all want to see where I'm at, follow me on social media, SirTony_. That's my Instagram. SirTony, that's my Twitter or X account. And yeah, so that's it. Y'all have a good one.
Tap in with him. That boy going to be debuting.
Yeah, soon enough, hey. Shoot, especially after yesterday. I'm ready, man. Training is hard, boy. But I'm ready, man.
And like that, we out.
Peace.
Trip forever and I'm just not getting started. That's the one. Yeah.